1 Timothy 5, verses 1 through 25. So turn to that in your Bibles if you have them. 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 25, the whole chapter. And in this chapter, Paul is giving Timothy instructions regarding how things should work in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so be listening to how these things might apply to us in our congregations. 1 Timothy 5:1, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Honor widows, who are truly widows, and if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. For if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled, if she is not less than 60 years old, and having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain,' and 'The laborer deserves his wages.' Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudicing, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some men are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden." And that's the end of that reading of God's Word. And I'll just make a few comments. The first part of this, well, it comes up in several places. Paul is very interested in having people take care of their relatives. And he goes so far as to say that those that don't are worse than unbelievers, which is saying a lot. And so We all have relatives, I presume, and if any are destitute, we should be doing our best to care for them. And that's the idea that Paul has about widows. He talks about widows and then widows indeed. And the widows indeed are those that are not only deprived of their husbands, but they're destitute and have no one to go to for help. Those, as Paul has laid it out, should be helped by the church and perhaps even put to work in the church if they are of good reputation. But in many cases, there are relatives. In our day and age, there are often relatives who can help a widow. And as people my age get older, their parents die, and often the husband, the father, dies first, and in my case, I have a widow mother, and it's incumbent on me to care for her as best I can. And if you're not in that position yet, you may be someday. Then I was going to mention, he talks a lot about the office of elder here, and we don't often go here to understand the qualifications for elder, but we should go here at least to see how elders are to be treated. And he's clear that charges should not be received against an elder except with really solid evidence, that from two or three witnesses, which is aligned with the Old Testament regulations on charges and judicial actions. So they should at least get that consideration. But the sense of it is it needs to be something very substantial and well documented before charges should be acted on. And he says something significant here about double honor. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. What is double honor? To me, that says there are two honors. One honor is honor. And sometimes we don't even give ministers that. And then the second honor is actually wages, pay. Because he goes on, he doesn't leave it to our imagination what he means. He quotes the scripture, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." And when I was little, I used to think, nuzzle the ox. You're not supposed to get up near the ox and pet him while he's treading out the grain. That's not it at all. It's muzzle. Don't put something over the mouth of the ox that keeps him from getting a little to eat while he works. And so, and if that's a good rule for oxen, then it's probably a good rule for people. And so he quotes the scripture that says, the laborer deserves his wages. The ox deserves something to eat while he's treading the grain, and the other laborers deserve their wages. And that applies to ministers of the gospel. And so, in my experience, I've seen cases where, okay, we're paying our minister. That ought to be good enough for him. He's actually given a little more than the average in the congregation, and that kind of grates me, but okay, I'll play along if I have to, but it's kind of, you know, there's an attitude sometimes. The worker is not really deserving of his wages. It's almost a gift, and we can fall into the trap of resenting what he's paid, as though I never made that much money, so I don't think he should either, is kind of the attitude that I've not had, but I've heard, and I've kind of reacted against that to the other direction, that we should actually be generous wherever we can in paying our ministers. And it was possible that Andrew would be here this evening, but I'm kind of glad he isn't, that I can speak freely about us being honoring of him in what we pay him to support himself and his family. And thank the Lord, he has been able to this point to work without getting a second job. He's able to preach morning and evening, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. There was flu in his family last week, and Jeff Yelton very graciously stepped in and preached for us morning and evening. Turned out that Andrew wasn't terribly affected by it, but we were trying to be cautious, and so he stayed home. But that's one of the, that's I think the only time I can think of in however long he's been here, 7 years or more, that he's ever missed a Sabbath because of being sick. He is a very hard worker and a very capable man, and we should honor him all we can as a congregation, both in encouraging him, speaking well of him, supporting him in our prayers and thoughts and what we say to him, what we say about him, and then secondly, honor him in as much as we can in paying him as a congregation. And I was reminded of a verse that has come to my mind many times. Galatians 6:6, share all good things with the one who teaches you. You have an apple pie you're enjoying? Take a piece of it to your pastor. You have a sport you're enjoying and he's capable of also enjoying it? Well, get him in on it too. And whatever else. You know, you enjoyed a book. You share that with him. Use your imagination. The things you enjoy, maybe he would enjoy. And the scripture commands us, Paul tells us in Galatians 6, to share all good things with the one who teaches you. And so I encourage all of us in our congregations, since we're not all from this congregation, in each congregation, let's do what Paul isn't just suggesting. We get some pretty strong words from him when the thought enters his mind that anyone would disregard what he's saying. And so, let's do it. We'll now pray. And so I'll lead us in prayer for the congregation. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for granting us a very capable and gifted man. And in some ways, we're not worthy of him. And we should never have the thought that he is not worthy of us. And so we thank you for his faithfulness. And after all, that is the judge of a man's worth. Is he a faithful pastor of God's people? We praise you that you have given us such a man. Enable us to support him in financially, to support his family, and to keep him from, if at all possible, being in a position where he would need to take on another job. And bless him in his commitment to preach for us morning and evening each Lord's Day, that we would have that privilege of feeding on your word twice on the Lord's Day. We thank you for his ministry to us in our prayer meetings, in explaining and commenting on a psalm each Wednesday evening for us. What a blessing that is to us, and a challenge to us to be digging deep into your word. And Father, give us hearts and affections that would enable us to frequently encourage him and praise him and speak well of him to him and his family and to ourselves and to others, that we would be an encouragement to him in every way that we can. And we ask for your blessing on him. And remind us often to pray for him, and especially through the week as he's preparing to preach. How many distractions would be available to him to draw him away from the study of your word and the preparation to preach. And we ask that you would continue giving him that self-discipline that enables him to manage his time and his household well, and to come every Lord's Day fully prepared to preach your word, both in the morning and the evening. We thank you that you have spared him from illness, even in this latest illness. He was only mildly affected, and we praise you for that preservation of his health. Some ministers virtually lose their ability to serve because of ill health, and you have allowed and enabled Andrew to continue serving you. And we pray for that continued blessing to him, and we ask it to be true for decades to come. We pray that he would be a very old man before he is disabled to any point that would keep him from preaching your word every week, if that is your continued call on him. And Father, we ask for our congregation that you would preserve us. You know we are very weak and small, and we need your help materially and spiritually to continue this service to you in this congregation. Lord Jesus, you are the King of the church, and so we appeal to you to exercise your mediatorial kingship in preserving this congregation. If you intend for us to continue here, provide what we need and encourage us in serving you, that we would not grow faint. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.